red light camera ahead. 40 kilometer school zone ahead.
A warning from the TomTom as I drive down the Princes Highway. A speed sign saying 60 just there. Now it's changed to 40. And it used to be 70, all in a very short stretch. Distractions. Oh yes, it's The Science Show on ABC Radio National. And do note the website, abc.net.au/rn/scienceshow. As shortly I'm going to ask you whether you are as distracted as I am by all those road signs, the warnings, the rapid changes, the cameras, so many cameras. For the first time, in fact, I'm being forced to look away from the traffic. I'm looking for signs and traps instead, and I can tell it's making me less safe. I've never had an accident, and I've been driving since 1967, but the research says I'm just about the kind of driver who is vulnerable. Now let's join some younger folk with maybe a cheerier attitude to their driving. Nikki Phillips and friends.
What's the speed limit?
Well, I think it's like 70, you know, about that or something.
Did you see the sign? I think there was a sign back there. The GPS is flashing at us to turn around and go back.
It's the GPS, doesn't know anything. It keeps telling me to turn around.
Okay,
clearly.
The road.
And the second exit? I don't know where the second exit is. It's just straight ahead.
Oh, that's fine.
Very distracting.
Okay, so we're just about to go over the bridge. Megan, what do the signs... Can you tell me what signs you're seeing up there?
Okay, that's the Clarence Street exit, the York Street exit. Some sign to Anzac Bridge and some signs Western Suburbs. Then underneath there, I'm seeing E-tag change. Pass or something bizarre.
I think we're in the wrong lane because we don't have an E-tag, so we need to get in.
Right.
Whoa. That one.
The very far side, right over there? Sure.
Okay. We've just crossed four lanes of traffic. Oh, that's yours.
Yeah, look, don't worry about it. You probably need to focus. I mean, it's Tom, do you look for me and see if it's Tom?
All right, quick. That's the exit we're supposed to take. Okay, too late. Yeah. We're going on the highway. Did you see that sign back there? What did it say? Oh, I don't know.
Stop the rock. Stop the rock. Stop the rock. Stop the rock. Can't stop the rock. You can't stop the rock.
Driving a car, well, any type of vehicle actually, is probably the most complex task you complete each day. In fact, it's far more complicated than we realise. And the World Health Organization is suggesting that by 2020, cars will be the third biggest killer in the world. A study in the US has even shown that 23% of accidents are caused by driver distraction. And as we'll soon hear, distractions don't stop with mobile phones. It may not feel like it, but there are actually thousands of different brain processes going on every time you get behind the wheel. So if you're listening to this program while you're driving, be careful and make sure you pay attention to the road. Considering the complexities of driving, it's a little wonder we're easily distracted. Mark Horswill is a senior lecturer in psychology at the University of Queensland, and he says that while driving requires your complete attention, it's like any other skill. You get better with practice.
On that same token, it's quite a fragile skill where it's very easy to interfere with how well people can perform that skill. To give you another example, a study we just finished, we've looked at billboards and we found that the presence of billboards under certain circumstances can slow up people's ability to detect hazardous situations on the road ahead. So that is, even though people are supposed to be looking out for hazardous things on the road, some situations, if you have a billboard that's attracting attention, that will actually increase the amount of time that people take to spot an actually important, dangerous thing on the road ahead.
But it's not only billboards that can distract drivers. Jessica Edquist from Monash University's Accident Research Centre has found that often our driving environment is too cluttered. Endless amounts of road signs and directions combined with too many cars on the road and a complex built environment can make it difficult to concentrate on the driving task.
If you've got, for example, an environment with lots of writing in it, and the writing, some of it's on road signs and some of it's on advertising signs, drivers will probably be looking at all the writing to determine if they need to pay attention to it.
Jessica set up a series of computer experiments to see if drivers could discern between the important information they need to drive safely and all the other clutter.
So the computer experiment was looking at how well people could detect changes. I had photographs of real road scenes and I modified each photograph so that something was missing. And then I had the computer show the original version and then the modified version alternating, and people had to say as fast as they could what's changing in this scene. And what we found was that in high clutter environments, people would take longer to see the change. So just having a built-up environment with shops and that sort of thing meant that people were missing a change as big as a car appearing and disappearing in the lane next to them. They were half a second slower to see that. So that's a pretty big difference. And that wasn't distracted by any particular sign. That was just the general background complexity. If I added billboards into the photographs, which I did for some of them, that had another effect on top of that, is people were even slower.
The drivers most affected by visual clutter are novice and older drivers. And with a growing older population, one wonders if restrictions will be placed on unnecessary signage. At present, there are different laws in each state about where a billboard or sign can be erected. But the legal framework is complex and often open to interpretation. Even the authority to place signs is held by multiple stakeholders, including roads and traffic authorities, local councils, and even the Development Commission. So what does Jessica suggest authorities do to reduce the effect our built environment has on road safety?
They have an approach in Queensland, which other state authorities might think about introducing, where they have restriction distances around areas where drivers have the highest workload, where they need to be paying most attention to their driving. And that's areas like freeway merges and exits and intersections, all those sort of places where there are going to be cars weaving in and out and people looking for their exit signs and that sort of thing.
Now, it might sound a bit dangerous, but a town in the Netherlands has removed 95% of its road signs in an experiment to see whether giving drivers less instruction and allowing them to use their own observation skills to assess traffic rules would reduce the number of car accidents. And it seems they've had some success. So could something like that work here in Australia?
It works well in low-speed environments, or it seems to. In a place where you've got pedestrians and cyclists as well as cars, and you need to have everybody paying attention to where everyone else is.
What about not having so many signs on a freeway? Would that work?
It's a difficult issue because obviously you need to have enough signs to give people the information that they need and warn them about any upcoming hazards, let them know where their exit is and all that sort of stuff, without giving them too much information.
Often what I'm distracted by on a freeway is the directions or which exit I need to take or which lane I need to get in to go in through a tunnel, and I'm not paying attention directly to the road. How could you avoid not having those signs?
In an ideal world, you'd have those situations based so that you wouldn't have multiple exits coming up at once, for example, and where you do have exit signs, you wouldn't have anything else that the drivers need to pay attention to, so you wouldn't have a sharp curve at that point or anything like that.
We'd love to hear how you find driving. Do you have too much to look at? Are you ever distracted by too many signs, billboards and directions? Or maybe you've done some research in the area. Let us know. Go to the Science Show website at abc.net.au/rn/scienceshow.
Green salad up and green salad down. Last done start, gotta tell the crown. Green salad up and green salad down. Last done start, gotta tell the crown. Old Miss Lucy dead and gone. Left me head a week and moan.
Well, Well, it's not just outside the car that drivers need to worry about. There are plenty of distractions inside the car too. We all know about the obvious ones, mobile phones, noisy passengers, or fiddling with your CD player. But what about GPS devices? Andrew Rekotanarani, an associate professor at the Centre for Accident Research and Road Safety at Queensland University of Technology, has found that GPSs, a technology made to assist drivers, can dramatically increase your risk of having an accident.
They are considered as a distraction because they require your visual attention. And the moment you move your visual attention away from the main driving task, then it might impact on your driving performance. For example, some of the GPS navigation really require your visual glance on the device, and that will affect, for example, your lateral control. So you will move from left to right in a significant way.
What about iPods? I suppose they're the same thing.
iPod is exactly the same thing. Some driver simulator studies have shown that when you perform an easy task on iPod, then it hasn't much consequences. But the moment you try to perform a more complicated task, such as selecting an album and playing with the volume, then it has been shown that your reaction time increases by 0.18 seconds, which is huge when you drive, let's say, at 100 kilometer per hour.
So how long can you look away from the road safely? I mean, is there even such a thing?
Yes, there are some international standard guidelines that give you some recommendation on how to design in-vehicle technology. So from the visual attention point of view, your device should be designed in a way that it will require less than 1.6 seconds to operate that device. Basically, the rule of thumb is that if the device can be operated in what we call in a blind manner, meaning that you don't require much visual attention on it, then it will be safer than the one who requires significant visual attention.
Research has even shown that being distracted by in-vehicle technologies like GPSs, mobile phones and iPods is like having a blood alcohol level of 0.08, which is pretty scary. Now, if you're sitting here listening and thinking, I'm an experienced driver, I've hardly ever had an accident, I can drive while fiddling with my GPS, well, think again. Experienced drivers are the most affected by distractions. Psychologist Mark Horswell.
Experienced drivers are much faster at reacting to hazardous situations than novice drivers. But what we found in some experiments is that when you ask both novice drivers and experienced drivers to do something else at the same time, so the idea that might be analogous to being on the telephone, what we found is that both groups have a problem, but experienced drivers are actually reduced to the level of novices when they get that distraction. So that is, experienced drivers are actually more affected. So they're actually brought down to the level of novices.
Is that something you expected?
I think the traditional skill theory would actually make the opposite prediction, that the more skillful we get at something, then the more robust we should be to various types of distraction. But no, in this situation, what seems to be happening is that experienced drivers, because they're running a much more sophisticated mental idea of prediction of what's going on the road ahead, they actually require to think about that, and therefore when they're thinking about something else, for example when they're on the telephone, then they lose that advantage. The idea is that novice drivers weren't so affected in that experiment because they're not spending that time trying to predict what will happen next, and that's reflected in their reaction times to dangerous situations, which are much slower.
So you're saying that there is a capacity for how much information we can process and drive safely at the same time?
Absolutely. There's only a finite number of things you can think about at the same time. And to drive safely, you actually need to apply most of the mental resources you have. And as soon as you introduce other things into the mix, mobile phones, any other types of distraction, then you're running the risk of significantly slowing up your reactions to hazardous events. That's one of the big problems with driving is that, because the average person has one accident every 10 years, so accidents themselves are relatively rare events, even near misses are still pretty rare events. You actually get very little feedback as to when performance is poor. For example, in any other sort of task, so play a skill like playing tennis, you're getting constant feedback about whether you're doing well or doing badly. With something like driving, I may be driving along, I might fail to spot a hazard, I might have a near miss, but I might not even know about it because I haven't even seen it. So therefore, I'm getting no feedback, I'm getting nothing to tell me that I need to improve my driving.
So having said that, do we learn from things like accidents or near crashes that we're aware of, fines, being pulled over by the police?
There's some research that indicates that certain types of crashes can influence people's behaviour, but it has to be quite a specific type. So what they found is that accidents where someone was severely injured and the driver realised that they were completely to blame, they did affect subsequent driving behaviour. But the unfortunate thing is that most people, when they have an accident, believe someone else is to blame. And hence this becomes this self-fulfilling thing where because they think they're a better driver, therefore if they do have a crash, it must have been someone else's fault.
Learning from accidents, even fines, is a less than ideal situation for drivers to learn from their behaviour. So instead, researchers like Andre Riccitinarani and his team from Cars Q Centre have been developing in-vehicle technologies that will assist the driver rather than distract them.
The rationale for our research is that we will be invaded by more and more technology in our car. It's because the information technology are becoming more and more powerful. So we will have lots of devices beeping, informing or taking control of the car. So the danger of those technologies is that it will distract the driver, even if they were designed to help the driver at the first place. So what we're trying to do is to look at an existing device and future device and try to find out what is the safest way to inform the drivers about threats. So, for example, we are going to prioritize messages or present some messages or warning to the drivers in a very safe manner, depending on what's going on the road or depending on the age of the driver or depending on the vehicle speed.
So you're talking about designing cars that can take into account their environment, the driver and what type of driver there are, and other in-vehicle technologies like GPS and mobile phones, aren't you?
Yes, we are talking about a system that will improve the awareness of the driver about the environment and the car. So we want a system which will be aware of threats and will warn the driver in a safe manner without distracting the driver.
So can you give me an example?
When a driver is on a curve, driving on a curve is considered as a complex task. So we don't want the driver to be interrupted by a mobile phone call, for example. So if a phone call is coming, then we will delay that call till the driving context is safer.
Now, I would have thought capturing what's going on in the environment is quite tricky.
It's quite tricky, but the technology nowadays are quite good in assessing what's going on in the environment. We can use cameras, we can use radars, we can use GPS to have a good idea of what is the driving context.
And another thing that you're doing is vehicle-to-vehicle technology, which is cars speaking to each other. Tell me a bit about that.
The idea is that cars can exchange information using a wireless technology. So the example of application that can be implemented with that technology is that imagine a car going on a curve and discover that there is an object in the middle of the road. So the following cars can't see that object yet. The leading car can send some message back to those cars warning about potential dangers so that the other cars can slow down.
That's Andre Riccitinarani at the Centre for Accident Research and Road Safety at Queensland University of Technology, where he's an associate professor. That report from Nikki Phillips, and it raises two questions we'd like you to tackle. The first is, are you put off by all the new electronic contraptions you have to watch out for and the quick changes to speed limits in small stretches? Is it putting you off safe driving? Secondly, do you know of evidence to back this up? Science that's been published that might inform us? Given that traffic is set to double in Australia in the next few years, you can contact us to give us some of the lowdown on abc.net.au/rn/scienceshow. And bear in mind, a driver, that's you, must process 1,340 pieces of information per minute. Do let us know your stories, your contacts, and the fresh science.